God's Word. So we're in Romans chapter 6. If you're not sure where that is in the Bible, if you find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, take that right-hand turn, and after Acts you'll hit Romans. And so Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at the first 14 verses there specifically, and a little bit of Galatians. Let me just encourage you, if you look down in chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 8 down through verse 11. We're going to do that whole section, but let me read that portion of Scripture together. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Father, this morning we thank you for the Word that is living and true. We thank you again, Father, for this incredible partnership. We partner with you because you gave your Son to us. Lord, it just amazes me. I can't begin to fathom the depth of your love, that you would love us so, in spite of who we are, in spite of the challenges that we have, the shortcomings, God, still you love, still you give. And Lord, you've made a provision in Christ for everything we need for life and godliness. We lack nothing. And so, Lord, this morning, as we look to the Word, would you help us to see how that's lived out and plays out in our lives? And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. What would you say to someone who has been in prison, has been granted a reprieve, has been pardoned, has been set free, and so off they go, and then a few days later, they show up back at prison and insist on sitting in their prison cell? What would you say? What's wrong with you, right? Is this a grade B movie or something? I mean, why would you do that? I mean, you're free. You're free. Go live your life. Enjoy your freedom. Get out there and be all that you're meant to be. Take advantage. You don't have to live there anymore. Leave that old life behind. You don't live in prison anymore. You're free. Can you imagine doing that? And yet, that is what many Christians do. Many Christians take this freedom that Christ has given us, our freedom in Christ, and instead of living in the freedom, we insist on going back and sitting in that prison cell and being shackled again by sin. And living there as if this was what we were called to do, instead of being free. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And so we've been working our way through a series as a church family on how do I live by the Spirit. Lord, teach us to live by the Spirit of God, because it's what you've called us to. And you've made a provision for us in that way. Where we are free, now we need to live in that freedom. And to do so, you have to learn how to live by the Spirit of God. It's what you need to do. Now, when I was preparing to be a pastor, in seminary, I worked a couple different jobs over the course of the summers and then even during the school year. And one of my jobs was working at the Hudson's Bay Company. It's a retailer up in Canada. And I worked in the men's clothing department. And one of the things we got trained to do was to do what was called the even and the uneven exchange. All right? So the even exchange meant the customer, who's always right, comes back and they say, this doesn't fit, or I don't like this outfit or whatever, and I'd like to exchange it. And my job was to say, okay, can I help you find something that you'd like better, and we can make the exchange. And so long as they got something of equal value, that was an even exchange. But what if the customer came back and said, well, here's a pair of socks and I want that $200 suit? Well, now I had to do what's known as an uneven exchange, right? So I had to take the socks back, go through the process, and say, okay, so those socks were $2.99, and that suit's $200, and so I guess we have to make up the difference here. I'll make the exchange, but we got to make sure that the price is paid, okay, so we can make that exchange. Now, I was happy to do that, and the customer was usually happy to make the exchange because they're walking out with something way more than what they walked in with, uneven exchange. I want you to stop and think about that in terms of what Christ has done for us, because Christ has taken your life and mine, broken, stained by sin, falling so far short of God's standard of all that He requires of us. We've taken that life and He says, I want you to give that to me. I want you to give that to me. And I want you to make an exchange. I want you to exchange your life for mine. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my Son. I'm going to give you Jesus, and He's going to come, and He's going to live in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ around you, not Christ seated somewhere long ways away. No, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to offer you that. We're going to make this uneven exchange, and by the way, it's all covered and paid for on the cross. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That is what we celebrate in Christ. And Christ has done all of those things for us through this exchange. One of the challenges we have, I believe, in learning how to live by the Spirit is we think it all ends with that decision. I make a decision for Christ. We make the uneven exchange. I've got salvation, and that's it. And I suggest to you this morning that's not so. And if you go on and read in Romans chapter 6, what Paul says to us is that we need to keep on making the exchange. Continue to make that exchange. Let Jesus be your life. Make the exchange daily, constantly. His life for your life. We make this exchange. And so as we make that exchange together, what Paul begins with is in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, he talks about enjoying our death benefits. Now look with me at verse 1. He asks the question, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. He's looking back to chapter 5 where he's made the case that as much as there's a lot of sin out there, God's grace is bigger and more. It just keeps increasing. And some have taken that and twisted it a little bit and started saying in the church, well, then it's okay to be doing bad stuff because when you do bad stuff and you sin, then that releases God's grace. And so the more we sin, the more grace there is, so it's okay for sinning. No. That's not what Paul was teaching. And so he says, absolutely not. That's not what it's about. We died to sin. How can we live in it anymore? We died to that. And so he says, let me remind you what your death benefits are. Now, some of us have life insurance, right? And the thing about life insurance is the benefits only apply after you die. And once there's proof of death, the benefits are released. And so those become available. Paul is saying to us that spiritually, even as Christ died to sin, when He died on that cross, you and I died there with Him. And so now there are death benefits. And I want you to notice what he reminds about. Remember your death and burial and resurrection. Notice what Paul writes. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so Paul says to these Christians in Corinth, he's saying to them, do you remember when you were baptized? Do you remember when you publicly stated your belief in Jesus and you went on record to everyone to say, yes, I believed, I put my faith in, and so I was baptized. And he says, do you remember how you were placed in the water and when you went under the water, that was burial with Christ. You died and were buried with Christ. And when you rose up out of the water, it represents life and new life in Christ and resurrection life. Do you remember that? The death, the burial, the resurrection. When you believed and you put your trust in Christ alone, that's what happened. You joined Jesus on the cross. You were buried with Jesus. And when Christ rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. That's what's true. That's how heaven looks at you and me. Don't forget your death benefits. When you responded to Christ in that way, you experienced death to that old way of living and buried to that old way of living, but now raised up with new life. And so death ends sin's control. Notice that in verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Don't live in that prison cell, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Notice Paul says, we know. This isn't new. Paul says, I taught you this before. This isn't a new teaching. I'm just reminding you. We know this. That old self, that old nature, that old person was crucified with Christ. And so it does not have control over us anymore, because once we're dead, sin can't make us do anything. That's true of a corpse, right? You can speak to it, you can prod it, you can poke it, you can do all kinds. It can't respond because it's dead. The corpse can't respond. Paul says, that's you. When you died with Jesus on the cross to sin and that old way and that old sinful nature, you're dead to that. And so sin no longer has that control. It doesn't have the right to speak control over you. It cannot usurp control because you died to that with Christ. It no longer has that control over your life. It doesn't have that power. Now that's truth. That's what God has done through the cross. Jesus freed us from that. And He gave us life. Notice verse 8. If we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. Paul's, again, he's rehearsing all these benefits, right? You died to sin so that you could be alive. You could experience a new birth. You could be born from above. You could be made new from the inside out. And so you died to sin, but now you're alive in Christ. You have this new life and its resurrection power. Notice that this resurrection life is yours now. You see, Jesus, it says, died. He was raised from the dead. He can't die again. Death has no mastery over Him. And so the death that Jesus died, He died to sin. Once for everyone. Notice that. It wasn't what you and I do. It's what He did. And we identify with Him and we partner with Him. And we keep making this exchange. And so we exchange death for life. And the anticipation is we're going to do this constantly all the time. Because remember, this resurrection life is ours now. You see, sometimes people have this idea that this resurrection life and the power of the Holy Spirit is something that waits for when the day you die and you go to be in heaven, that's when it all comes together. And that's true. But it's not. It's available now. And that resurrection power is available now. And it's what can fuel your life in Christ. It's what's meant to fuel your life in Christ. And so you keep making this exchange. Keep on making that exchange so we can live by the Spirit. Verse 11. In the same way. What does that do? That looks back, doesn't it? In the same way that Jesus died to sin and then lives life for God, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So in the same way that Jesus died to sin and alive to God in Christ, now you, believers in Christ, live that way. Keep making that exchange. You count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Notice that you have to decide. You have to choose. God's done the heavy lifting on the cross. He did what had to be done that you and I cannot do. He did that. Now, you and I are invited to partner with Him by continuing to make this exchange. And we have to choose. It doesn't just happen automatically. When you're a believer, when you're a follower of Christ, life just doesn't automatically become everything's awesome and everything's just always the way it should be. You know that's not so. In fact, if anything, you've probably got more battles, more challenges, more struggles. And guess what? You get to choose. Choose. Okay, to reckon yourself dead to sin. And so you choose, you determine, you decide, you exercise your will. Someone else can't do this for you. You have to choose this. And notice it says, count yourselves, which is a present tense verb. It means constantly. Okay, daily. constantly, all the time. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. So you choose, and you do so daily. And by the way, that's an imperative in the original language. That means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? Reckon yourself, consider yourself dead to sin. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. So we need to obey the command, right? Whatever Christ commands, we're to obey. That's what Christ's followers do. And so the command is, consider yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Choose to obey. And do it all the time, constantly. You're never going to get away from this. There's no automatic pilot. There's no cruise control. Doesn't happen in the Christian life. You got to choose. You got to decide. Now count yourself or reckon yourself dead to sin. That word consider or reckon yourself, it literally means do the math. Count it up. Figure out what God has done and determine to be dead to sin but alive to God. In Colossians 3:3 it says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When that old sin nature comes along and it's tugging at you from the inside, you've got this civil war going inside you, and things are tugging at you to go the wrong direction, do the wrong stuff. At that point, by an act of your will, choose, decide, don't go there. By choosing with the power of God not to go there, you're dying to yourself and to sin. That's what it means to reckon yourself dead to sin. Remember last week I told you about my swimming lesson experience? Right? God wants us to get in the deep end. He wants us to learn how to swim. Don't be paddling around the shallow end for your whole Christian life. Get in the deep water. Get to where you can't touch bottom. And swim. That's what God's called us to. Go deep. One of the things I learned about going deep is there's something that you can do that helps you swim for a long time when you're in over your head. It's called dead man's float. And some of you know this. You can't tread water forever if you're in the deep end. And so what you have to do, dead man's float, you just kind of prostrate yourself out there, you grab a breath of air, and you just float in the water for as long as you can, and you just slowly release the air, and then you tip your head up, and you take another breath, and you just float there. It's called dead man's float. You can be on the water for a long, 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 long time without a life vest and do fine because you're doing the dead man's float. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. You practice this principle of dying to sin and self. If you're married, you should be practicing this. Because you see, the day you said, I do, you died. You died to anyone else in that relationship. You committed to your spouse, to your helpmate. You said, I do for life. And you commit there. And when you commit in that way, you said that I'm dying to everyone else. I'm not going to consider a relationship with someone else. I'm not going to flirt. I'm not going to go in those directions. I'm dead to those things, but I'm alive to my spouse. And I pour into my spouse. This is what God would have us to do. This is what God designed marriage to be. It requires that. Death to self and sin. Alive to our spouse, because that's being alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so reckon yourself dead to those things. So I want this to be so practical this morning. How do I practice this? Choosing to follow the command. Well, it works something like this, right? Something comes on the television, a movie, a show, or whatever, and you see something coming up and realize, this is not good. This is taking my mind and everything down the wrong path. What does it mean to be dead to sin? At that moment, it means either change channels or hit the power button and turn it off. You just died to sin. It's a good thing. I could think of some teenage girls that were being asked to come to a party. It was a kegger. It was one of those party all night things where not always good things happen there. And they're being invited to come. And they had heard a teaching on this at church. And they got the invitation. And the response back was, I can't. We're dead. You might try that. I can't do that. Why? Because I'm dead to those things. I can't go there. I know where that leads. And I don't want to live that way. I want to live for Jesus. I want to honor Him in everything that I am. This reckon yourself dead to sin is something that you and I have to work with all the time, every time. It may mean that, you know, it's for some people, everything inside them screaming for a drink, and rather than walking in the bar, you go for a walk in the park. That's dying to self and dying to sin. It may mean that that thing pops up on the computer screen where you're searching for something else and something malicious comes up and it's pornographic, and the first thing you do is you shut off that monitor. You just that's dying to sin. You're not going to live there. It could mean that when everything inside you wants to explode with anger or take revenge or so on, it means offering instead grace and forgiveness and kindness when everything in you wants to go the other way. I can tell you this happens as a pastor. I had somebody not so long back that was in my face yelling at me. And I got to tell you that I used to be the guy that probably would have hauled back and let him have it. Don't think that that thought didn't go through my mind. Didn't go there. By God's grace and by His Spirit was able to be gracious and kind and speak truth and love in a very awkward, very heated situation. That was not me. That was Christ helping me do that. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. You know, when the world says, look out for yourself and number one, so you can be top dog and getting on top of everybody else and climbing to the top of the ladder, dying to sin means, God, I'm going to put others first. I'm not going to try to promote myself. If you need me promoted, you do what you got to do. But I'm going to just serve others. You said greatness in the kingdom is about serving, so I'm going to choose to do that. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. There's so many ways. So often, what dying to sin looks like is whatever's inside of you that your first response, you take a deep breath, you're praying hard and saying, Lord, if I go down that road, I know where that goes. I'm dead to that sin and that old way of living. I don't want to go there. God, I choose this. I choose this. And every time you go there, you're dying to sin. But the result of dying to sin means that you're now able to be alive to God. And notice that your body can be an instrument of righteousness instead of wickedness. You can be available for God to do great things in the lives of others and in our community because you're dead to sin but alive to God in Christ. You can't live there if you don't die first. It's what's required. And this is not the kind of teaching that you hear a lot about these days, but it's what we desperately need. The Scripture says it's the only way to live above sin and have victory. Otherwise, you could go back in that prison cell and live there, even though you're free. How would you like to live? Remember Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who can rescue me? You want to live Romans 7 or you want to live Romans 8? No condemnation for those in Christ. Live by the power of the Spirit. How do you get there? Well, it's Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you can experience that life. It's in Christ Jesus. Make the exchange. Let Him be your very life. My weakness, His strength. My sinfulness, His righteousness. My inability, His ability. I live by the Spirit of God, His Spirit, not mine. It's not what I can generate. This is how we live a full, deep, victorious Christian life. And when you're living that, Galatians 2:20 makes a whole lot more sense now, doesn't it? Because you look at Galatians 2:20, here's what Paul writes. He talks about experiencing the Christ life, and he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. And for a lot of us, we read the words, but it doesn't register what that means. I have been crucified with Christ. What's he saying? I have Romans 6:11, my life. And I have died to sin and to self. And when Jesus died, I died. And I identify with that and I take that to heart and I live there. I've been crucified with Christ, he says. He's taking the Galatians to task. If you read the letter of the Galatians, remember there's a part there that says, you fools. How'd you like your pastor to start off his message to you that morning? To the church, right? You foolish Galatians. You started with the Spirit. Why are you going off and trying to do it in your own strength? That's foolishness. Can't be done. Got to have the Spirit of God. Got to live this life in the power of the Spirit. Paul says for himself, I have been crucified with Christ. I've made that decision. I've made the exchange. But I'm also continuing to live the exchange. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Right? It's no longer I live. Just a minute, Paul. Do you got a heartbeat? You seem to be alive. What are you saying there? I no longer live. He's saying, I so put my faith and trust in Christ. I'm so leaning on Him. I want Him to be my very life. It's Christ who lives in me. And so I'm making this exchange daily, constantly, all the time. God, let it not be about me, let it be about you. Let it be your life, your power, your spirit. Help me, God, to take another step and another step and another step. This life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. It makes sense when you stick it next to Romans 6:11 and what it means to make this great exchange. I can live out my faith in Jesus victorious. He loved me. He gave himself for me. I have everything I need. Do you believe that? Is Jesus just enough for salvation or is he enough for life? Isn't it both? Didn't Jesus not only die on the cross that you and I might have heaven and be reunited with our Heavenly Father? Wasn't that part of the cross? I see some people nodding. Okay, thanks. I'm glad you're there. How about for life? Did he want you and I to live just in prison and defeated lives and empty lives and impotent lives and struggling? Did he just want us to live that way and, oh, well, you'll get over it? Remember, you got heaven waiting for you? Or did he give us something to help us live the life? Christ came that you and I might have life and what? Have it abundantly. Is there abundance in your life? You see, you say, Lord, teach us to live by the Spirit. He is. And here's the message. Make the exchange. Let Jesus be your life. Determine that. Once and for all. Make the determination that he's your life. And then live it daily, constantly. Constantly making the exchange. Dead to sin. Alive to God in Christ. Living the life you've come. God, I blew it. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that you don't count three strikes and we're out. Thank you that I can go to the cross and yet again you meet me in that place. But I don't have to stay defeated. I don't have to stay in that prison cell. I am free in Christ. And so I choose the Spirit of God and I choose to walk by the Spirit and I choose Jesus as my life. I'm dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The life I live by faith, believe, trust in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself everything for me. Make the exchange. So I want to say to us as a church family this morning, are you living the exchange life? Is that your reality? I think for some of us, maybe the lights are going on this morning. Saying, Pastor, I think I get it. I can see the one piece I've been missing. I've been working hard. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I really want those things. And that's a great starting place. But can you understand, apart from the Spirit of God, you just can't do it. And he wants us to strive by his Spirit. Allow His Spirit to be that power because the Spirit of God always bears witness to Christ and brings the life of Christ to us. The Spirit of God is the one who raises us up and gives us new life in Jesus. Surely He gives us ongoing life in Jesus. Are you feeling empty this morning? Do you need to be filled?